Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Would you open to Ezekiel, please, this morning? Talking about spirit wars. And I pirated that from Star Wars. Ezekiel, that's in the Old Testament. And I want to just go over some, I'm going to read some texts to you that that are kind of our golden texts for this series that we're in. And we may get to them today, we may not, I'm not exactly sure. But I'm going to read them to you. If you want to jot them down, you can, but go ahead and stay in Ezekiel. And Jordan, if you want to go to Ezekiel, please do. Don't try and follow me in these other ones. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 is where I'm going to read. You go ahead and stay in Ezekiel. It says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Thank you, Lord, that we're strong in You. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, you stand." Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So this is two places where Paul makes this statement. He said, "We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says this, "But I fear," Paul's saying this to the Corinthian church, "lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So we're talking about spiritual warfare, and we've been looking at several different things. The first thing we looked at was the history and origin of Satan, which actually we've gone back to a couple of times. The second thing we looked at was how Satan made his entrance into the earth via the permission of Adam and Eve, and you can find that in Genesis chapter 3. The third thing that we looked at was the fact that Satan and demons are real and that Jesus and the apostles dealt with them. This means we will have to deal with them as well. Did you know that? Now, this is an interesting thing right here, and the Lord's been dealing with me about this concerning this thought right here. Most of our culture does not believe in spiritual things in the sense of we have been inundated with the teaching of evolution. Okay, we've been inundated with the teaching and development on the teaching of the soul or the mind and even the body. And so since we have so much of that, people don't automatically think spiritually. Have you noticed that? They just don't. When they think in terms of needing an answer for something, a lot of people, even a bunch of Christians, a good majority of Christians, will go to the natural to look for a resolution before they go to the Lord. You know, that's not okay. Did you know that? Paul told in some of his epistles, he talked about not being just naturally minded, not keeping your mind on natural things, but what? Keeping your mind spiritual, up, keeping your mind focused on the Lord. And so we got to be careful about that, and we need to get back to being more spiritually minded in the way we approach things. Now, we don't got to be panicky and afraid and weird about it. But we do. We don't need to be spooky and goofy, what I call particle pickers. You say, what do you mean by that? You know, they're in a room and light is shining through the window and there's dust particles going through and they're like, "Oh, it's the glory of God." No, it's not. It's particles in the light and you can see, and they're there all the time. You're breathing them. Sorry. And you can just see them, okay? But truly spiritual people are truly stable people who get true, honest, and perceivable results from the Lord. Does that make sense? So We need to be careful about that, but there is a balance there, and we need to live in it, and we don't need to ignore spiritual things just because some people take it to extreme or there are extremes. So the last thing prior to today we looked at was the names and actions of Satan and his demons found in the scripture. And if you want to go back and listen to those messages, they're all available online at faithfamilybillings.com. You can listen to the podcast there, or you can subscribe to iTunes. So then this morning, since it's been about 2 weeks since we touched the subject, because last week we had Pastor Larry Phelan here, I want to briefly review what we learned last week or 2 weeks ago concerning the weapon the enemy uses. And this is in Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'm going to start reading in verse 11, and then we're going to go from there. Now, this is what's known as the law of double reference. This is a specific description of Satan. Verse 11, it says this: "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God." And then verse 12, it says, the second half, "You were the seal of perfection." This is talking about Satan right now before he fell. "Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, the beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold." He was a fancy-looking dude, wasn't he? I mean, imagine if you came in like that. You got your sapphires on today, I see. You know, I mean, you had all this. I mean, as an angel, Satan was very striking. God made him that way specifically. He was a beautiful angel. And then it says this: "The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." So he was a created, see that? He's a created being. Verse 14, "You were the anointed cherub who covers." I love these words that the New King James is using here. You were, you were, you were. This is what you were. Then he goes into what he becomes, but this is how you were created. This is, God is saying, this is what I made you to be. "You were on the holy mountain of God." He's not there no more. Okay? If God establishes a place for you and you try and get out of it, he will remove. If you try and function in God's place that he's given you in your own will and way, he will remove you from it. Does that make sense? Okay? Because God demands that obedience. So he says this: "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was" what? "Found in you." In other words, God did not create the devil. The devil, Satan, decided to twist what God had given him, and then he turned into evil. He is called the father of what? Lies, correct? Okay. "So by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst, and it devoured you. And I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you, and you have become a horror and shall be no more forever." There's where horror movies come from. Okay. Verse 15, let's go back to it. It says, "You were perfect in all your ways the day you were created till" what? "Iniquity was found in you." And I got to make this an emphasis because there are people that believe that God and Satan have this secret handshake deal that they did where nobody saw what was going on, and somehow God is using Satan for his ways and his will and his purposes. God is not using the devil. The Bible clearly says that no man should say when he is tempted of evil that he's being tempted of God. Why? Because God can tempt no man with evil. Why can he not do that? Because there's no evil in him. In order for God to be able to tempt people with evil, he would have to have evil. Can I ask you a question? If God and the devil are working together, why did God say in 1 Peter and in James, submit to God and resist the devil? And how are you going to know the difference if God and the devil are working together? Is this from you, Lord? Are you working with the devil, Lord? Which is it, God? Should I submit to this or resist this, God? Is this you, happy God, today? Are you healer God today or destroyer God today? Come on. We got to think about these things because we function in the new covenant by what? Faith. How are you going to have faith on shifting sand? You can't. It's impossible. You can't. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, you better make it clear, and this is as theological as it can get. I mean, we could break it down in the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. God good, devil bad. And you might as well just put a period at the end of that. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no what? No variance. In other words, he doesn't change. He's not Jehovah's schizophrenia. I'm not sure if I like you today or not. Let me check my feelings. That's not God. He's not in heaven doing that. He's steady as the day is. He's steady, Alpha and Omega. Boom. This is what we're doing. And it's, we fight the battle of staying with him in the steadiness by faith, because we have an enemy that wants to get us off. Amen? So, skip down to verse 17. I'm going to kind of flip-flop here. This is where we see how iniquity was created. Verse 17 says, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. And that word beauty means beauty or brightness. And we just read the description of how what he looked like, how God made him. You corrupted or perverted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. So what are we learning here? Notice that Satan did this all to himself. He was not created to be the father of lies. He chose to be that way. Secondly, what do we see here? Satan's heart was lifted. Now you got to listen to this carefully. Not because he was beautiful, but rather because he focused his attention on himself rather than on God. Now, if you read Romans chapter 1, you will see that this origination of lie that Satan brought into existence and then has perpetuated through the earth is described clearly in Romans chapter 1. Because the people in Romans chapter 1 were led astray. How were they led astray? If you look through the Old Testament, even into the New, the people are led astray by worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. What did Satan, how did he get off? He began to worship himself instead of his Maker. So he took in possession, he had what God had made him in creation, the wisdom that he had, the beauty that he had, everything that he had before he rebelled was functioning under the authority of God. And then he decided, I'm going to be God. And so he took what God made, what he created him to be, and then twisted it for his own desires. Now, I know I said a lot there, but I will say this. You can trace back the issues that humanity has to that very thing right there. That very thing. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve in the garden. What is the enemy attempting to do with Eve? He's attempting to twist God's words to her and get her to see what? Get her to see something different about what God created than what God said about it. Come on. What the spawn of all the things that we deal with that are perversions and twists is in Satan. And we have the book that undoes the mess right here. Okay? We have the book. The entrance of his word brings. So when the enemy comes to you with a lie, the twist, the perversion, the traffic of information that he brings, we'll look at this in just a second, you can go back. That's why it's so important you know this word. It's so important. I don't understand people who don't read their Bible. I don't understand it. I mean, it makes no sense to me. He gave you the book. He gave you everything in here. He not only that, he put the author of the book inside you. I mean, and you don't read it? You better repent. Amen. I'm not asking for a public confession. I'm just look straight ahead. Nobody will even know it's you. Okay? Okay? I'm just saying, read it. Read it. People say, well, I read it, but I don't really get anything out of it. You better start reading it in faith and stop saying that and go, when I read, I get revelation from heaven. Because Jesus didn't say, when you read my words, you won't really get anything out of it. Come on, faith fighters. Right? Okay? We have the answers. I'm going to make this statement. Come on. Glory to God. There is nothing the enemy has that God does not already have the resolution done. Done. Not like he's got to come up with it. It's done. Because Jesus said, it is. Heaven is full. And we will tap it by faith, that grace, and live in it. Come on. Come on. The enemy, he hates this message. That's why he tried to distract you. That's why he don't want people to come to church. He does. He hates this message. That's why we put it everywhere. For those who weren't able to get themselves out of bed this morning. Because even though I'd rather have you here in the midst, I'll put it everywhere. I don't care whether they come or not. Why? Because I have a goal. Kill, destroy, tear apart the one who is trying to tear apart the world. Through the message of Christ. Amen? You say, how do you get a mission like that? You yield yourself to the one who already accomplished the work, and then you become a part of the team. Amen? Okay, so he says this. He talks about here his splendor and all of that. So Satan's heart was lifted up. The glory, the splendor, and beauty of what God has created can only be properly understood and handled when the creation focuses and worships the Creator. All right, I'm going to say this again. The glory, splendor, and beauty of what God has created can only be properly understood and handled when the creation focuses and worships the Creator, God alone. You cannot understand yourself as a male without understanding God. You cannot understand yourself as a female without understanding and knowing God. If you attempt to live your life in self-desire and worship of self rather than worshiping God, you will get the culture that we currently have. Well, I don't know what I am. And then you have parents that are wanting to raise their kids genderless. And these groups run around and act like they've come up with something that hasn't existed before. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. If you give your mind over to things that are outside of light, you will end up with confusion and darkness. Now, here's the thing. People say, well, you hate those people. I love those people, because they are in a place that, whether they realize it or not, obviously most of the time they don't, that where if they don't get light, seeds never lie. You say, what does that mean? In other words, whatever a man sows, and if you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption, death. You'll reap it. Whether you agree with it or not, I can look at an apple seed and go, this isn't an apple seed. This is what I love about truth and lie. This is what I love about the truth, the Bible. I can look at an apple seed and go, I'm going to plant this seed, but I'm not going to have apples. I don't believe in apples. This is the thing about truth. It works every time. I don't believe in apples. I'm going to plant. No, you can't tell me what I am. This is not. You can't tell me what kind of seed this is. I believe this seed is going to grow a pine tree.
I'm going to prove you wrong. Put it in there and water it and water it and water it and water it and water it. And then an apple tree comes up. And then people do this. Our culture, this is what the enemy does. They hang pine cones where the apples, next to the apples. People that have gone to that point, what are they saying? I'll do what I want. I don't need you, God. I'll do whatever I want. You got to watch it because it's deceptive. And the enemy is good. He's smooth. Did you know that? The enemy doesn't run at you and go, I'm the devil, rah, fear me. He doesn't do that. He goes, oh yeah, I agree with that scripture. But you know, there's this side of it too. That's exactly how the enemy operates. Love is love. Love is love. You don't love. Love is love. Do you know where to speak the truth in? Do you know you can't have love without truth? Now, you can have truth without love, but you can't have love without truth. You won't. You can't. You got to have a foundation. You got to have a firm foundation. So then this, let's look at verse 16. Here's what it says. So we're going to go back a verse now. Verse 16 says, by the abundance of your trading and traffic, oh, I love this, and merchandise, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. So the word trading means traffic and merchandise. It says this, therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. The word trading here means to traffic. It means merchandise or commerce. And I said this 2 weeks ago, but we need to look at it again. I looked up the word commerce in the thesaurus, and it is connected to conversation. One of the descriptions that connect the two words is a social exchange, especially of opinions or attitudes. It also states the use of speech for informal exchange of views or ideas or information. So what did Satan traffic in? Words. Twisted words. Twisted words. The word violence means, it's the word kamas in the Hebrew, and it means the disruption of the divinely established order of things. Through words, Satan has disrupted the divinely established order of things. Do you see that? Okay, in Genesis chapter 3, everything was perfect. Everything was great. God just gave authority to man. He said, everything here is yours. Subdue it. Subdue it. You know what that means, right? Put it under. Control this atmosphere that I've given you. It's perfect. Lord over it. That's what God was telling Adam and Eve. And then Satan came in, and what did he do? He started trafficking in information that was contrary or twisted or violent, or it was outside the divine order of what was already established. And then Adam and Eve, in their obedience or submission to the enemy, partook and obeyed those words. And then what happened? Everything went south from there. Do you see that? In other words, the enemy works to get you distracted away from God's words to you. You know, essentially, faith is just hanging on and putting your trust in God's word and expecting that and that alone. Did you know that? That's what faith is. Faith is looking at depression and going, depression? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then feelings, thoughts, everything comes against you. And you in faith go, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. Depression, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I submit to the joy of the Lord, depression, and I resist you. You say, what are you doing? Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. You say, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. Now, what people do is they go, Well, I tried that, but I didn't feel anything different. See, you're out of faith. If you're in faith, you'll stick with what God said, and eventually your feelings will catch up. Amen. They will. They'll change. Why? Because you're declaring a word. You're yielding to a word. Just like Adam and Eve yielded to a word and let in evil, you can yield to a word and let in abundant life. You don't have to yield to your feelings. You don't have to yield to what the doctor says. You don't have to yield to what the financial situation says. You don't have to yield to fear. You don't have to yield to any of those things. You can choose by the word of God, by an act of your will, and submit to the word of God and resist those things. And God will then begin to do what? He'll begin to operate on your behalf. Because what does that faith do? That faith gives God a, almost like you could call it a tunnel, you could call it a pathway into your life to be able to affect what? You spiritually, physically, financially, in your mind, every area, in your family. It gives God access to your world. Amen? So he says this. This is where we see this. The enemy started doing this. And in the process, see what happened, what took place was Satan began to use, he began to focus on himself. He got trafficked. He got all messed up on the inside of him. And then he began to do what? He began to share that information with a third of the other angels. Probably more than that, but only a third were dumb enough to follow him. Right? Wouldn't you say that was stupid? It was a bad idea. Only a third. But what did he do? He began to get into their understanding and began to twist it. We're going to take this thing over, guys. Not without God. It's always a bad idea for the creation to look at the creator and go, I'm taking you out. that's dumb. He's the originator. He can look at you and go, I know you. On a molecular level. You know, this is why this is so powerful. This will kind of give you a picture of it. Jesus, you think about how he operated with his words and his faith. He's being beat, right? For our sin, right? He doesn't deserve it. He's choosing this. And these men are mocking him. They're spitting on him. They're hitting him. They're punching him in the face over and over, whipping him. And they're saying to him, who hit you? I mean, he's swollen shut probably at this point. You're a prophet, right? And he can't see physically. Who hit you? Come on, tell us. Tell us who hit you, Jesus. You know, it's a good thing Jesus didn't turn and look at them and go, you want a prophecy? Dissolve. Who are they hitting? The word. Made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. He created those men. And instead, come on, think about the love of God. Instead of dismantling us, he dismantled himself so that you could remain together, so that you could have a hope and a future and a life back inside of you. What we gave away, he purchased back with his own money. And then he says, serve me if you choose. See, your enemy wants to destroy you. Let's go, and so we need to stick with the Lord and his truth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll finish up right here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. So the enemy works to try and get into your mind. And I'm going to read a testimony of something to you here as we wrap up that'll help you understand this war. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, strong in God for the pulling down or demolition of strongholds. That word pulling down means demolition. So the weapons you have demolish the enemy's weapons. Does that make sense? demolish strongholds, casting down what? Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you see that? God gives us the ability to bring every one of our thoughts into what? Obedience. To what? To Christ. I like that. To the obedience of Christ. So what we see, and I'm not going to go over this in detail. I may next week. We'll see. What we see here is Paul, by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, sharing with us where spiritual warfare takes place primarily. Now, how many know this? This is the mind, correct? Most of you have probably read this. You've understood this. But I want to read something to you that a man of God had, a vision of the Lord that he had, that gives a description to what goes on here and how this works. So, let me just review real quick here, just so we have this in context in your mind. We're talking about our enemy. We're talking about how he functions. From this verse right here in 2 Corinthians 10, we can see that the primary battle that takes place is in where? The mind, okay? So, we also know in looking at Ezekiel, which we just looked at, that the enemy traffics in what? He traffics in words and understanding. He traffics in information. He twists truth and then delivers it to people. How many have ever had a thought come into your mind and you thought, my goodness, where did that come from? Okay? How many have ever had, like one minister I heard say, he was on top of this high building and he said, he was looking over the edge and looking down. And as he was looking down, this thought came to him, jump. You should jump. And he, being a minister and understanding where spiritual things happen and how they happen, turned his head, nobody was there, and said, you jump. That is spiritual warfare. The enemy will come to you and he'll say things like, you should just give up. What's the point? What's the point? You should just give up. You should just roll over. What's the point? And in the midst of that, you need to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no reason why I should give up. Devil, you should give up. Now see, you say that and people go, don't talk to the devil. You better talk to him. Jesus talked to him. Jesus talked to him. You say, how do you know it's the devil? When you know the word. That's spiritual warfare. Thoughts coming. Every thought that goes through your mind did not always originate in you. Now, if our medical field will establish these truths before they teach anything else, there'd be a whole lot less medication delivered to people. You say you're against medication. No, I'm not against medication. I'm not against people need, if they need those and they need to take it for a season, fine, take it. Or if they need, that's fine. Do what you got to do. It's where your faith is at. But I'm just telling you this, the thoughts that come to you and the feelings that come to you, they did not all originate with you. They could have originated with the enemy. It could be a thought, and you need to know this word so that you know the difference. So, I'm going to share this with you. Open in your book. Oh, you don't have the book. Never mind. I'm just teasing. I'm going to read something to you. This is a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. This is where I went to Bible college. Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Broken Arrow. And he was a teacher and a prophet, so there were times where the Lord would appear to him and share things with him. And I want to share something with you as we wrap up this morning. So I'm going to read this to you. And if you listen closely, these two verses will tie together, I think, perfectly in what the Lord gave him as an experience. He said, when Jesus appeared to me in the 1952 vision, he talked to me extensively on the subject of demons and how they get a hold of people. There were three parts to the 1952 vision in which Jesus taught me how demons try to gain access to people. I was holding a meeting in a church. I was staying in the parsonage, and after the meeting, the pastor and I would fellowship together. After one of the evening meetings, the pastor and I began to pray. I no more expected anything unusual to happen at that moment than I expected to be the first man to land on the moon. I never felt so ordinary in all my life. But as soon as I knelt down to pray, it just seemed like a white cloud came down and enveloped me, and I found myself kneeling in a cloud of glory. I couldn't see a thing. My physical senses were suspended. My eyes were wide open, but I couldn't see the stove, the table, or anything else in the kitchen. And then he goes on to share some different scriptures that talk about where that happened. I looked up to where the ceiling should have been, and I saw Jesus standing there, and I was caught up in a cloud of glory. Jesus spent an hour and a half talking to me. He began his conversation with me by saying, "I'm going to teach you concerning the devil, demons, and demon possession. For from this night forward, what is known as, in my word, as discerning of spirits will operate in your life when you are in the spirit." You know, I'd share my own experience of this, but it's never happened. So, just hang with me, all right? Okay? People say, "Are you disappointed about that?" No, I've got the word right here. Okay, moving on. Anyway, Jesus said, "I'll show you exactly how demons and evil spirits get a hold of people and dominate them and possess them, even Christians, if Christians let them." Hello! People say, "Well, that could never happen." The enemy can work you a direction and get you off the word. I'm not saying it's easy. It could happen. Jesus talked to me for some time about the gift of discerning of spirits. One of the things he said to me was that discerning of spirits is supernatural insight into the realm of the spirit. Okay, it's not just wisdom. Some people just teach it as a wisdom thing. That's not what it is. Discerning of spirits is something spectacular in the sense of you have supernatural knowledge into the spirit realm. Okay, so he says this. Then, still enveloped in that cloud of glory, Jesus opened the realm of the spirit to me, and I began seeing into that realm. I saw a woman, and as Jesus began to narrate the following scene to me, I saw this scene all in action as it unfolded. Jesus said to me, "For instance, this woman was a child of mine. She was in the ministry with her husband, and she had a beautiful singing voice. In the vision, I recognized the woman. I knew who she was. I did not know her personally. I knew she had left her husband, who was a pastor, for another man. In fact, her former husband was the very pastor I was praying with in the parsonage, in that parsonage kitchen." You see, unless Jesus shows us, we only see the result of things that happen. We don't know why they happen. I knew this woman had left her husband, but I didn't know any of the details. We see situations that happen in the natural, but we don't usually know what has occurred spiritually in the spirit realm to cause them to happen. The Lord said to me, "This woman was my servant. Her husband was a pastor, and she was in the ministry with me. The devil came to her and said, as Jesus narrated, I saw what looked like a little imp. It almost looked like a little monkey. I saw it come and sit on this woman's shoulder and begin to whisper in her ear." Now, listen to me. Demons are not monkeys. You go to the zoo and you see the thing in the cage. That's not a demon, okay? He's saying what looked like. You say, "Why do you have to explain that?" Because people will hear stuff and they'll just come up with stuff. They'll go, "Yes, all monkeys are demons." Okay? Alright, so be nice, Sean. Okay, so the Lord continued speaking to me. He said, "This evil spirit whispered to this woman, 'You are a beautiful woman and you have been robbed in life.'" This is while she's a pastor, or a pastor's wife. "You are being cheated. In the world, you could have fame, fortune, and popularity." There's no doubt in my mind, this is Brother Hagin speaking, that this woman, that with this woman's singing ability, she could have been an outstanding singer. But here's something I want you to see. Although the devil's statement had some truth to it, in the world you could have fame, fortune, and popularity, according to Philippians 4:8, it wasn't in line with the word of God. "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things." So then he goes on to say, what the demon was saying didn't line up with Scripture, because it wasn't true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or a good report. It certainly didn't have any virtue in it. Therefore, it wasn't scripturally sound. Some people wonder how to distinguish the voice of Satan. This is how you do it. What you hear must line up with the word of God. The Bible tells us exactly what to think on. Think on these things. And the Bible lists the kind of thoughts we should think on. The Bible is our standard for our thought life. Jesus continued, "This woman knew it was the devil speaking those thoughts to her, so she said, 'Get behind me, Satan,' and I saw the little demon jump down and run off and leave her." Have you ever felt like a thought was like there? Hello.
It's a demon.
Don't be scared. Hit it. You ever have something come onto your shoulder or get around you like a bug or something? You ever do that? It's just the devil.
Oh, it's the devil. No, the devil.
You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Speak to him. Amen. Don't do it arrogantly. Understand who you're speaking through, and the power that you're speaking from is Jesus. Amen. People think, well, how could it be this simple? It is this simple. Jesus, still narrating, said, "By and by, this demon came back to her again, and sat upon her shoulder and began to whisper in her ear." At this point, the evil spirit wasn't on the inside of her, but it was on the outside, oppressing her, trying to gain access through her mind. That is how the enemy gains access. That is how the enemy gains access, through the mind. But she still had authority over it, because the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." She could have resisted the devil. She could resist the devil, because the Bible says in James 4:7, that she didn't have to give any place in her thoughts to the devil. We also see that in Ephesians 4:27. Jesus said, "By and by, this demon came back to her again and again." How many have had plaguing thoughts before? Hello? What is it? Use your authority. Continue. Stand fast, brother. Stand fast, sister. You can do it. You have him on your side. Amen? He said, "You are a beautiful woman, but you have been cheated in life. You have been robbed in life. In the world, you could have had fame and fortune and popularity," but she knew it was the devil. So she said, "Get behind me, Satan," and the demon would leave her. Notice, when the woman exercised her rightful authority over the devil in Jesus' name, that demon had to leave her. But after a season, he returned and again to tempt her. Just because you resist Satan one time doesn't mean he won't try to come back again. Hello. And so I'll skip through this part. And it says, Jesus began narrating again, "I saw the little imp come back again and sit on the woman's shoulder and whisper in her ear." Jesus said, "By and by, the evil spirit came again and to whisper in her ear, 'You are a beautiful woman, but you have been cheated in life. In the world, you could have had fame, fortune, money, and popularity.'" Jesus explained that at this point, this woman was still just being oppressed by the devil. Any Christian can be oppressed by an evil spirit. No Christian is immune to Satan's suggestions and oppression. But we don't have to yield to his suggestions, and we have authority over any oppression he tries to bring against us. Then Jesus said, "But this time she began to think Satan's thoughts after him." This is how he gets in. If he can get you to accept, come on. 2 Corinthians 11:3. How did Satan deceive Eve? Deceived her mind. Through the mind. Through the mind. He says, she began to think his thoughts after him. She began to think, "I am beautiful." Is that true? Was it true for her? Probably. Think about this. She began to think, "I am beautiful," because she liked to think that. And she began to think, "I have been cheated in life. It's not fair." There's a song that came out a few years ago, country music song. "Welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun." How many have ever heard that? You repent, all of you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I'm sorry. "Welcome to Earth." In other words, not fair things happen on this planet. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to rise up? How are we going to stand against? Amen? So he says this. She was a beautiful woman, but she got to thinking about her beauty instead of keeping her thoughts centered on God. Does that remind you of anything we just read? How about Satan? He was corrupted because he focused on his own beauty. You cannot contain you, the creation, without worshiping your creator. You don't, well, I'm pretty amazing. You don't have heartbeats without God. That's how amazing you are in and of yourself. Jesus said it this way, in and of yourself, you can do nothing. Well, Lord, that's not a very good promise. I don't have that one on my fridge. I don't meditate that one. I don't want to have that one. We need to laugh. I know I'm gone over a little bit. You're all right. I don't want to. But with God, all things are possible. Do you see that? It's a matter of where your heart is, where your worship is, where your focus is. You may be beautiful. You may be good looking. You may not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. None of it's going to amount to anything unless you keep it in perspective. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Many believers wonder how Satan is able to gain ground in their lives. The first place Satan starts to work is in your mind. And one of Satan's greatest and most powerful weapons is the weapon of suggestion. He traffics. Come on, we just looked at that word. He traffics. He does what? He gives information. He traffics in what? Lies. So then he says this, after all, that was the weapon Satan used against Eve in the garden. He talks about that. So, Jesus explained to me, at first, this woman, my servant, was merely oppressed by this evil spirit from the outside. She rebuked him because as a child of mine, she has authority over the devil. She resisted him several times and he left. But the last time she began to listen to him and to continue to think his thoughts and listen to his suggestions because she liked to think those thoughts, then she became obsessed. So she went from oppressed to obsessed with the devil's thoughts. Jesus said to me, she became obsessed with the kind of thinking, that kind of thinking. But even then, it wasn't too late. She was still my child. She knew what to do. If she had wanted to put those thoughts out of her mind, she could have. She could have said, I refuse to think like that. That's of the devil. That may sound like the most simple thing in the world, but there are times you just need to buckle down. You need to put yourself in your bedroom or somewhere where nobody can hear you and go, devil, I refuse to think your thoughts after you. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The fruit of my spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I will overcome by the will of God, by the power of God. You need to settle down and go, no, I will not think that way. No, I'm not going to think and imagine your words. The enemy is not that powerful. He's trying to use your ability to destroy you by deception. Satan's bank account is vanquished. He's wanting to use yours. He's getting you to sign the check over to him. Don't let him buy stuff with your money, spiritually or any other way. Okay. So he says this. He says, it's possible for a believer to become obsessed in his thinking with the devil's thoughts. But I want you to understand this, that the woman could have rebuked the devil at any time because she had authority over Satan. So then he goes on to say this. She actually became transparent in the vision. And it states that Brother Hagin was actually looking through her. And at first, it was just words on her shoulder. And then it became a black dot that got in her mind. And in the vision, the dot just keeps spreading because she kept meditating on the enemy's lies. And eventually, the Bible says that, or not the Bible, the story goes on to say, in this account, the woman left her husband, then left that man that she left him for, then left that man that she left him for, then left that man that she left him for. Even to the point where at one point, she actually was in a hotel, and in the vision, Brother Hagin saw this, there was a minister of the full gospel denomination that he was a part of that went to the hotel, looked her up, and came to the door where she was. The Lord revealed this to this minister, went to the door where she was staying with another man who was not her husband, and he knocked on the door. She opened the door and answered the door. The account here that Brother Hagin gives says she was barely clothed at all, and she had been living shacking up with this guy after going through four or five. And then it says, when he relates, she opened the door, the minister was standing there, and she goes, I know why you came, and as far as I'm concerned, to hell with Jesus. And in the vision that Brother Hagin saw, that dot went from her mind to her heart. And there was no redemption for her at that point. Now, he makes this clear in the book, and I want to state this. He said, even, the Lord said to Brother Hagin, if she had been overly tempted and in a fit of emotion when she said that, it wouldn't have taken root, and she would still be able to repent. And the Lord said, I would receive her back. But she knew what she was doing. She knew exactly what she was doing. And Brother Hagin said, Lord, do you want me to pray for her? And he said, no. Now, do you think that's scriptural? Well, we're supposed to pray for everybody, Sean. The Bible actually says in 1 John, if you see a man sinning a sin not unto death, pray for him, and the Lord will what? Give him life. But if you see a man sinning a sin unto death, I do not say pray for him. You say, what does that mean? That is talking specifically about the situation we just looked at. Specifically. And there's more scripture to go along with that I don't have time to go into right now. But what was the point of the story? The point of the story is this. You control your mind with your words. Don't let the enemy talk to you all day long. Come on, moms. You got little kids running around, and it feels like, you know, people say, my kids are driving me nuts. Don't let your kids drive. You don't know what it's like. I do know what it's like. I have three. Well, if you had more, well, you had the more and your grace to deal with them. It's not like they accidentally showed up. We slipped on a banana peel. We got seven. What happened? No. There was full participation between the husband and the wife. And the kids came forth. Now, I can understand if you were surprised and you had octuplets. But if you had eight individually, it's your fault. Be blessed. You're anointed to deal with them. You're anointed to raise them. Amen. Don't let the enemy talk to you. Speak back. Come on, attack back. Don't just sit by idly and let him deal with, because he comes subtle. Amen. Now you stand up in his face and go, you're not allowed here. I'm a child of God. You're on sacred ground, bud. And run him out. Amen? Stand with me, please. I love it. We're raising up some strong ones. We're becoming strong. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we'll be doers of your word and not hearers only. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We bless you. We thank you. We purpose to be doers. Let's just do this. You can say it after me. Say, I will control my mind. My mind is mine, not anybody else's. Not Satan's, not the world's, not other people's opinions, not my feelings. My mind is the mind of Christ. And I think God's thoughts after him. And I resist Satan's thoughts. Satan, you have no right to my mind or my life. I submit to the word of God, and I resist you, and you must flee because of Jesus and his power. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great week. We will have Wednesday night Bible study, and then we have believers meeting tonight. If you need prayer, don't hesitate to come. We'll pray with you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.